Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Bob Surratt on WGN.
Morning to you, 7:39. Your information is all over social media. We talk about that and Facebook all the time. It gets especially interesting when we use that information in some new cool ways, and Facebook is using info in the fight against COVID-19. Here to explain all of this to us, social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. How you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Well, I was at 90%, and now I'm back to 50%. So the caffeine has worn off, but, you know, I don't want to get the other cup here too soon. Let's talk about what's going on with the numbers and the info that is all over social media on us.
Yeah, sure. So there is this story about Facebook using data with COVID-19. And what's really, really fascinating about this is, you know, we complain all the time about how our data is being used, and our data is being used, you know, just it's being collected when we're not even expecting it. And some of that data goes into ads, but some of the more general data that they collect is really fascinating, and it goes into research. And now what they're doing is they're publishing this forecast map, and they're using your data, and they're using artificial intelligence tools, and they're trying to predict where the spread of COVID-19 is going to be next, all the way down to the county level.
And that's the game changer, right? The county level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, from WGN's reporting, you know, just how important county level data is. It's how Governor Pritzker decides on what areas are going to be in the phases of reopening or what areas are going to have to shut down. According to Facebook, it's using that type of model, and it's working with healthcare experts to provide forecasts on how infection rates are assumed to spread. You know, just, you know, how it every time there's a wave, it spreads in different ways, and they're trying to figure out how to do that within a 14-day time span.
How does it work?
Well, they've trained their artificial intelligence models, and they're using actual real-time data about the spread of the disease. So they take things like the county names, they take dates, they take numbers of confirmed cases. But then there's all these different variables that they have to put in, and it gets like really complicated. But there's social distancing, there's COVID-like symptoms, you know, there's people who have colds and not actually COVID. So they have to, like, you know, figure all this stuff out. So then they take all that and they draw from non-Facebook public data, and then they take the Facebook data and they lay that on top of it. So basically, they have all of this data plus all of this other county health data to create one giant map. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. And you say this wasn't built with the personal data, so the things we associate with being creepy when we say social media knows too much, that's not what they're using, is it?
That's not what they're using this time, but it's really all about optics. I mean, the question I ask is, do people actually really differentiate between personal data and data not tied to a specific user? I don't think they do. I think Facebook and any other company that's using your data, no matter how they are using it, needs to explain that 1,000 different ways.
So this is like what happened when Google and Apple stepped up to use iPhones and Google phones to alert us on COVID exposures.
Yeah. It's completely related, really. I mean, Apple and Google, they're still trying to convince people that they get no private information about you and your location. They really don't. Everything is generalized and encrypted into this code of numbers that makes no sense to you and me. But the bottom line, Bob, is when it comes to privacy, people, and rightfully so, you know, they have reasons to be suspicious. And you need the social media companies to reassure you. Sure, that's helpful, but not everyone is going to be as excited about this kind of stuff as I am. I mean, I've been doing this for as long as I have, you know, so I can say that there's a lot of creepy stuff that happens on social media. I never try to couch that. But this isn't that. This is a situation where this type of research will save lives if it's used properly.
Yeah, I've got some creepy questions about how your phone is spying on us. All of our phones are spying on us. We'll get to that. And also more on Facebook and how they're working on addressing something that we all complain about. 7:49, we're talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Let's talk about Facebook, Scott, and how they're working on something that we all complain about. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, for sure. So, so you know how your feed, how it decides what you see and when, your Facebook feed, how sometimes you see a post from a week ago that you've already seen, and it makes you say, like, Facebook, what are you doing? I've already seen this. Well, that's what they're working on. They're testing this system where we can choose if we like that method or if we want something chronological or if we want to see the post ordered by favorites, meaning the post that you say you want to see first. And actually, that setting on favorites is a setting that we have now, but it's never actually worked as intended.
So is this a done deal? We're going to see this?
It's still in testing, but it's in the advanced stages, and that means that it's going to start rolling out to more people. That means it's gotten by the initial phase. So the final presentation is still to be determined, but what you may ultimately see as this test goes on is three tabs at the top of your feed, one that shows home, one that shows favorites, and one that shows recent. Home is how you see it now. Recent is chronological.
Well, that seems to make sense. I mean, I think most of us are chronological. I am. Are you?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I get the whole algorithm thing, and I get the way it's supposed to learn about you, but at the end of the day, I feel like I'm too complicated to be figured out by an algorithm. I like to see what's being said right now, and on a particularly newsy day, you know, I like to be able to go back 3 hours and see posts about the debate or posts about the Bob Surratt show.
Yeah, I like to go back and figure out what I said, too.
I figured you would.
You mentioned the setting for favorites being there now for everyone. Where exactly is that?
They don't make it easy, Bob. So basically, you want to find any post from a source you want to favorite. So say you find a post from WGN Radio. Go to a post from WGN Radio and click on the three dots at the top next to the name of the station. You'll see a menu and a choice, and it'll say add WGN Radio to favorites to prioritize in your newsfeed. So this setting means, theoretically, whenever someone at WGN Radio posts a Facebook post, it should show up first in the top of your feed, like right now. But it doesn't always work as designed. With this new feature, if you select favorites, it would mean anything you save as a favorite would come up first, which is what they say. And that'll be a close second choice, I think, to chronological for most people. And at the when it's all said and done, I would be very surprised if many people kept the feed as it is today. I just don't think it's very popular.
Yeah, I think you're right. I want to ask you about a privacy issue, and you can set me straight on this. Somebody was telling me that, and I'm not sure which iPhone he was talking about, but that the iPhone default allows the camera and microphone to be on almost all the time. For example, you're on Google. Well, that camera is activated, and so is the microphone while you're searching. What do you know about this?
It is that, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. The camera and the mic, well, let's talk about the microphone because that's the bigger thing. The microphone is on for people to be able to use services like Alexa and to use services like Siri. But you know that you have to say the magic words, you know, hey, Alexa, you know, for it to actually activate. When a microphone and a camera are on, you actually do give it permission when you load an app. When you initially install an app, you say, do you wish to give the camera and the microphone permission? A lot of times people forget that they do that, but what it's not doing is it's complicated because it's listening for you to activate those devices, but it's not recording what you say. And there's a big distinction between recording what you say and activating it for a particular service. So that's the weird thing. On the iPhone, there's something you should realize. On the very new software, iOS 14, which just came out, there's this new new green dot and an orange dot that you may see in the upper right corner near where your bars are to tell you how strong your signal is. The green dot means the app that you're currently using can use the camera. The orange dot means it can actually use the microphone. So you can actually see when it's running. But if you look at it like right now, like if I look at my phone right now, it's not going to be on because it's not recording me.
So is that only on newer iPhones or just with this new software?
The green dot and the orange dot are new on the new software. It doesn't have to do with the phone. As long as you have iOS 14 installed, whether you have a new phone or a slightly older phone, you'll see the green dot and the orange dot. But the settings itself or the privacy, that goes back a couple of iterations of the phone. Like if you go to your iPhone settings app and then you scroll down, you search for privacy, and then you tap on microphone, you'll see a list of every app that has access to your microphone, whether it's on or off. Here's the key. That doesn't mean that it's listening to you right now. That just means that it has access. So when you do go into that app, you shouldn't be surprised technically to find that your microphone can work with that app.
And what about the camera?
The camera is similar, but not really the same. Like if you launch Instagram, for example, the green light will come on to tell you that it has access to the camera if you want to record something. Same for Facebook, but it's not actually recording you. That's the thing that people are confused about, where it's actually recording you versus ready to go. So if I'm in a camera app, it's going to come up with the green light and say, if you need to do something with the camera, you've given me permission in the past, this is totally fine for us to do. But if you turn off that function, it'll turn it off. But the bottom line is, it's not like if you're searching Google, like you were saying, it's not recording you while you're doing that. It's just at the ready if you need to do something with it.
How do you keep up with all this stuff, Scott? Did you spend the day fiddling around with all of the settings on your phone?
Yes. Yeah, basically, that's all I do. Yeah, pretty much.
Scott Kleinberg does it, so we don't have to. Thanks, as always, Scott. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob. Thank you.